exam. So I was asked yesterday by email, there are two exams. Should I pass both of them? No, you don't need to. But sometimes maybe one has a bad day and the first exam doesn't go that well and one is not happy with the grade. Then you can come to the second exam. You can always come to the second exam as well. And the better grade you get counts. Even if you're in the first time, you write a 4 maybe and you want to try to get the 5, but in the second exam you don't manage, you have a 3, then you still get the 4. So you always get the better of both. So it's advisable if you have time enough and you're not happy with your first grade, then you can still come again and try your luck or your knowledge. Okay, so we had tried to apply this proposition, but I was not finished before the break because we use this X and afterwards we should plug in into this X our original expression. Then it's correct. So in if you only have this one, then we would get a constant. And the expression which we started out with, this one should be a random object because it's a constant plus a stochastic integral. So it would be strange to get here a constant. So now it works because now it's random. Okay, so this you read as a function of x, right? And that we are going to do now. So we are not interested anymore in the moment at this plugging in back the random variable, but we want to have this function which depends on x and it also depends on little t because we are interested in the price at a certain time under the condition, the price of the option at a certain time under the condition that the share price is given by the value x. So, and that would be a function of t and x. We define it that way. So we take EQ, and for some reason, it doesn't matter. I put the factor out. We can handle it later. Okay, so we have this expression again. So this is, I hope I did not miss do any mistake in the calculation. So you have to be very attentive that I'm not doing something wrong. Sigma WT minus T and minus sigma squared T minus T should be correct. Okay, so we want to compute this in detail. So you're given sigma, little t, capital T, k, x, and I want you to have an expression, want you to get an expression out of that. So what could we do? One more step is this Brownian motion stuff here. We can also interpret as square root of t minus t and what do we take? A standard normal Gaussian random variable, right? So in distribution and x is standard normal Gaussian. Because we know the distribution of this guy, right? It has expectation 0 and is Gaussian and the variance is t minus t. So then this should be the same distribution. So maybe I should write a little bit more. So this is in distribution that with x is distributed like this. Okay, so we can use this if I find my right color. Namely, we can, what would be good in the next step? Yeah, we simply use this now. It would be maybe good to make some abbreviations. What do we abbreviate here that I get the right terms? T minus T is going to be now in the future A. So that gives us E to the minus R times A in the beginning. And then we know that this has a standard normal distribution. So I can use this kind of transformation of how to compute the expectation. So I have a function of this x. I'm using the same function, and now I'm not writing capital X, but little x and the density. So that was kind of the rule of thumb, how to compute what is the density of the standard normal. So I guess everybody knows it is 1 divided by square root of p, e to the minus x squared half dx, and I'm integrating over the whole real line. Okay, and then I still have to plug in my function, and x was not a good choice because x is used, so let's take another one. Let's take z. Okay, and we have this function, which is quite long, so it's x, e to the r, this is a. Then we have sigma, and we have square root of a, and we have something is wrong. There's an e missing here. So we have this factor and we have this expression. E is still correct. And then I forgot to write the second e, right? So we have this discounting factor and then we have this expression. Okay, sorry for that. Little z, not little x, and minus sigma squared a half minus k, and everything is plus. Okay, so we want to get rid of the plus, of course, so that we can compute something. So what does it mean? It means that so we can get rid of the plus if the left-hand side, if this, not left-hand side, but this expression here is greater or equal to k. Okay, so that means that I need a bit more space. So we need x e to the r a e to square root of a sigma z minus sigma squared a half is greater or equal to k, and that I'm rearranging. So we want to have a condition in z. So what I'm going to do, I first divide by x, and then I take the logarithm. Maybe I divide by this also. So I have k divided by x multiplied with e to the minus r a. So this is gone. Then I take the logarithm of this expression. And then I have this exponent. So that gives me, so this is equivalent to that, and this is equivalent to putting this still on the right-hand side, and I can write the logarithm in a different way. So I write logarithm k divided by x plus or minus r a, and then I'm adding sigma squared a half And I still have this factor in front of the z, so I've taken this away and put it on that side. This is this term here. And I divide by sigma square root of a. Fortunately, everything is non-negative, so I don't need to turn around the inequality. Non-negative and monotone. Okay, so if z is greater or equal to this term, then we can leave off the plus. Okay, so how do we treat this now? This is called, in the theory, this is called D2. Okay. So we can leave off the plus if we are on the set that on that set that z is greater or equal to was it correct? D2? I hope it is. Yes. So if z plus D2 is greater or equal to, no, that's minus D2. According to this official notation, I try to keep this. Okay. So if we assume that we have this whole expression. And we restrict us to z is greater or equal to minus d2. Then we can leave off the plus, but I should still keep the density function. And we have this. And the next step would be to put these into two parts, because now they are not, I can separate them and can compute the integral over the first part multiplied with that stuff and the k. Okay, so this is the calculation in between to get the d2. So this is official notation. Sorry for that. So what do we get? And then we're almost done. We are very close. First step, first thing is, I notice here that I have e to the minus ra, and here I have plus the same thing. So if I multiply this, this is gone. So I'm left with this. Then the next thing I have is the x, and actually the x, if you look at this, is just a factor. Now I can put it out. Then I have this expression, again, what was that? So z minus sigma squared a half e to the minus z squared half dx dz. And the second expression would be this factor. We have the k, we can put this out. We have e to the minus ra. And we have this density and on this set. So I'm going already to write it down as an integral border. So I have z is greater than minus d2. D2. So that means I'm integrating from minus D2 to infinity, and I have this density of the standard normal distribution. Okay, and the task is to express everything with the distribution function of the standard normal distribution. So how do we call it? So here in the lecture notes, it's called phi, capital phi, which fits nicely to phi, so it has also been used as trading strategy. I'm sorry for that. Okay, now it's phi. So phi, maybe I put it in red, of z, z is used, x is used, let's take y, is the integral from minus infinity to infinity of e to the minus z squared half dz. Okay, and now if you look at that, and you notice that we have the situation that the density is symmetric. So if you think of this function, this e to the minus z squared half is a function which is symmetric. Now, if you compute the integral from here, going on, this would be minus d2. You get the same, so this goes on until infinity, of course. Not straight line, but okay, you know how it looks. This is the same as if you compute the area from minus infinity to d2, right? So how can I indicate that? This is the same as going from here to d2. In other words, I guess you know that phi of minus d2 is equal to phi of d2 for any d2 real number. Okay, so that means that we get here k e to the minus ra phi of d2. Okay, so we still have to compute this expression, and here we get the factor x, of course, and I forgot the indicator function. This is also going from minus d2. Okay. And here we have such an object, which if you look carefully, this can be written in a, sorry that my writing is so bad, but this can be written as e to the z minus sigma square root of a squared divided by 2. So if you check, you get exactly these expressions. And that means that if you would shift the whole integration by this sigma square root of a, then we would get again a standard normal distribution function. So we only need to shift the integral borders. And this is done, and I'm not doing this now in detail. So I guess this is something you can do yourself. So what we would get is we have x times phi of d1. I'm telling in a minute, this is the shifted d2, so to say, minus k e to the minus ra phi of d2. And we have this relation that d1 is equal to d2 plus sigma square root of a. So if I shift in order to get rid of that, I have to add sigma square root of a to in order to get the right borders. So, yeah, so here we have the minus, and okay, so you have to calculate, you can calculate that for yourself. So this is what we get. So in other words, we get, so this is our result, so to say, with the d1 and d2 given as before, and the a given as capital T minus little t. So we get that f of t and x is equal to x phi d2 d1 minus k e to minus l a phi of d2. Doesn't work. So this is the famous Black-Scholes formula. And I was told that there exists, or at least maybe 20 years ago, not anymore, I guess, but 20 years ago, there exists special pocket calculators, or maybe it's 30 years ago. Special pocket calculators for managers who were dealing with such things, and there was this formula programmed. So they just plugged in D1, D2, and so that was D1 actually, and then they could compute the price. So that, why is the X not random? Because at time t, you know the price, right? That's why it doesn't make sense to put it random. We just take it a definite price. So we want to know what is the price of the option at a certain time. So now we can compute it at any time. What are the problems here? The practical problem is that you certainly know the A, which is the time difference from now to the to the capital time t. You know the interest rate in general. You can use that one. You know the strike price. You know the present price of the share price. But in general, what is not really so well known is the what is called the volatility, is the sigma. And there are many methods to get this sigma. And usually it's not done like that, that you make that you watch your share price and try to figure out from the moving up and down what is the sigma. There are more sophisticated methods to find out the sigma, and to finding out the sigma is actually one of the big problems in finance, the finding out the volatility. And in realistic settings, the sigma is not a constant, it's also changing. Even the interest is sometimes modeled as random. Okay, so this is the end of this calculation. So I hope I didn't make it too hard for you. What I still want to do is I want to show you the end of the lecture notes because I changed it. So at one point I wanted you to simulate a little bit yourself, but Ea was not so happy about that. She said I did not teach you. So I should not require, but just in case in your future life that you need a Brownian motion, I want to tell you it's available and also the random walk. So I tried to explain a little bit the section. This is at the very end of the lecture notes, so it is on page, doesn't have pages. Very strange. Oh, 76. Okay, whatever. So I wrote how to do. For example, with R, to get this random walk, we scaled in the right way. The points of the random walk scaled in the right way to get, if you go with this capital N to infinity, the Brownian motion. So here I try to indicate my simple R program, which is not correct. As I told you, you can make it better because it should start in zero, right? So it doesn't start in zero with me because I only count the first value, and then the first value is of course not zero. So you have to change it a bit to make it perfect. And that was the pictures I got. And if you don't have R on your computer, no problem. You can just compile on the internet. So there's an sometimes my computer gets an update and then the headphone doesn't work anymore and also not the R, but I'm using the online R. So I just plug in this program and I'm getting these pictures. Okay. And this is the program for the Brownian motion. So you can also have produce your own Brownian motion paths. And what did I want to show? Maybe I can show this we have seen already. And if you're not familiar with the program R, you can of course use any other, but now the explanation is with the help of the R language. If you want to know what all these commands mean and you don't know, then you can, for example, go to this explanation, which is, I thought it was quite helpful to find out. For example, in R, you can simulate the distribution function, you can simulate the random variables, and so on. So the all works with these kind of commands here, just in case you don't know yet. Okay. Yes, so it goes on here, so it's funny. I was wondering what's that, but that's the R tutorial for probability. One of them. Maybe there are 50 on the first pages if you use Google. Okay, that's the end of the course. So at least I'm not over time. I'm a little bit earlier. I hope you did learn something in finance and had some fun, and I'm sorry that this remote stuff is not the optimal way to teach. So I hope you manage. Anyway, the remote lecture is probably easier, I hope so, than you have to learn all these things by heart. But what is the best way to prepare? You should go a little bit through the lecture that you don't search a lot, so that you know approximately where is which part of the lecture that you can find it easily and apply it. And to go through the exercises, also star exercises are could similar to exercises to the star exercises you could have in the exam, not the most difficult ones for sure, but you should not avoid looking at them as well. So I will write in the topics which exercises you should review and which so to prepare for the questions. And yeah, so if you have any questions, you can say them now. Otherwise, I wish you all the best for your exam and the future, and say goodbye. Okay, bye bye.
Not related to mathematics, but I was just wondering.
Yes.